When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Guys, tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking this morning. We'd love to see that. Obviously, get your questions in. We're going to be talking about spring game, recruiting, portal. There's all kinds of good stuff going on. So let's just jump right into it, fellas. The spring game.
Exciting, man. That was an exciting spring game. I can't tell you. I talked to Coach Shipley yesterday afternoon. I talked to when is the last time in a spring game has actually been exciting and not just finished with a dud? You know, it's kind of like, it's like it starts, you see all the players, and then by the third quarter, everybody's kind of ready for it to end. Instead, everybody's trying to wants it to keep going on. I think that's what happens in part when you have electric quarterback play from both sides. At times, you have guys that are playmakers at just about every offensive position. I mean, literally, guys. The Longhorn, and I wrote this on Sunday. I mean, the Longhorns, the gun is loaded. So no matter who you throw to on offense, that dude's got a chance. You're very rarely throwing to a guy that ain't got a chance to take it to the house. I thought it was an exciting game. I thought it was a fun game. I was so happy the rain held off, by the way. That was huge. But all in all, I thought it was a successful spring for the Longhorns and just a really, really fun game.
Yeah. By the way, thank you for telling us where you're checking in from. Somebody just checked in from Istanbul. I think that's a first on Texas football. I've seen some others, a lot of people in Texarkana. If Sark can ever get this quarterback thing figured out, Texas has a chance. I thought it was a great, and I said that jokingly. Obviously, I mean depth. Quinn Ewers is one, Arch is two, and Trey is three, and that's a really good 1-2-3 going into next year. I thought it was such a great spring game for recruiting and for fans. I sound like a broken record, but we live in an offensive world. I mean, rules are for offense in all sports. Just go look around. And this is the type of product that really sells, that hits in recruiting. I mean, the thing to remember is a lot of people say, well, what do defensive kids think when it's a high scoring game? Look, if you talk to defensive kids, the highlight of their football career is scoring a touchdown. I mean, Alfred Collins scored his second touchdown off a tip interception. Now, it didn't count because it was a spring game. But, I mean, when have you seen Alfred Collins more excited on a football field? I mean, these guys, they all grew up playing AAU basketball. What do you want to do? Put the ball in the hole, not go take a charge. I mean, that's just the reality where we're at in sports these days. So that was a great product on the field Saturday. Are there some issues? Is Texas a perfect team? No. Will they address those issues? We'll talk about that a little bit here. It's not Adwater instant player. These kids have to develop, and Texas has proven they're developing players, but it was a great product for fans and in recruiting. And what made it really special in recruiting, I think, for Texas, and you never get everybody, nobody does, is freshmen were making plays in a spring game that just enrolled in January. That's a very good thing in recruiting.
Jerry, talking about recruiting, some of the recruits were asking for Arch Manning's autograph post-game. I just want to put that in context a little bit. That doesn't happen very often, Jerry Hamilton.
Yeah, that's what happened with Kevin Durant when he was on the 40. So, I mean, that those are rare things. But that was great for recruiting. I mean, Quinn's great for recruiting, right? During the season, Xavier Worthy's combine time, A.D. Mitchell, all those guys. But I'll tell you the other thing that was interesting to me, guys, over the weekend, being there for 4 days, was, you know, I was around the facility Friday. I was just seeing if any, you know, just making sure what recruits were coming in. And they had the UT alumni event at Moncrief. And I had a former player tell me that they hadn't felt as welcome as former players at Texas since Mack Brown was the coach.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
That's a really good thing because there are a lot of former players. I mean, I posted some of those photos on ontexasfootball.com. I mean, you know, Nick Redwine, Mason Walters, you know, Obanaya was there. I mean, Jackson Jeffcoat, Colin Johnson, Super Bill Bradley with the photo of the day. Obviously, he's always going to take the photo today. But the players that played for Matt said they haven't felt as welcome back at Texas since the days of Matt. That's a very good thing for Texas football because players recruit players, and that doesn't just mean current players. That means former players because they all own businesses now. They all work are successful in their own ways. They know kids from their hometowns. They know families that have kids in their hometowns. There's a lot that goes into this recruiting thing. You can get a positive voice from a lot of different places outside of Steve Sarkisian's head coaching office in the Texas offices.
Hey, Blake, before we get going to the portal update, because Jerry laid a whopper on people this morning on ontexasfootball.com, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Each and every Monday's broadcast brought to you by John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group, who is a proud Texas X's Life member. John and his wife, Lisa, another proud Texas X, were in Austin for the spring game last Saturday. Had a blast. I hope all of you enjoyed the great showing as well. John and Lisa have already secured their flights in VRBO home in Ann Arbor for the game in September. And they hope to see you at the On Texas Football event scheduled to be there. We are going to be there and have stuff going on in Ann Arbor. Speaking of being excited, John wants to remind all of you that you can receive a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy by simply calling the Longhorn Wealth team at 972-707-4900 or visiting www.longhornwealth.net. Take advantage of this exciting offer to meet with John Donovan, certified financial planner who has more than 30 years serving Longhorn fans all across Texas and the nation. 972-707-4900 or go to longhornwealth.net.
I've seen a few comments that A&M punted 11 times in their spring game. Michael Dixon, seeing if he has 1 year of eligibility left. Right now. That was a
very seriously. Your comment in your article this morning on Texas football, putting out the percentages of some guys in the portal, and then mentioning we talked about big game hunting. Where might Texas go outside of just defensive tackle if they were to go at all? Well, I mean, you're laying it out there a little bit this morning. I'll let you just take it from there.
Yeah, so I think, look, let's start with Bill Norton and Jay Toya, the two defensive linemen who were on campus this weekend. I think Texas is in a really, really, really good spot for both of those guys. I don't think the recruitments will play out, especially Norton will play out very much longer. I with Jay Toy, I'm not sure he takes another visit. We'll see. We'll see. Come Tuesday and Wednesday, what happens there. I think Texas did a very good job with both of those guys this weekend. Dominic Williams, the D lineman from TCU in the portal, he visited Oklahoma over the weekend. I know there's a lot of excitement on the Oklahoma side. He remains scheduled to visit Texas Tuesday, Wednesday. Look, I'm obviously I'm on Texas football, but I don't share the same confidence for Oklahoma that Oklahoma does on that one. I'll say that. We'll see what happens. It's the NIL world, but I'm not sure I share the same confidence that Oklahoma does on Dominic Williams. So we'll see what happens, guys. I mean, Dominic's also scheduled to go see Colorado and LSU and possibly Oregon if his process continues on there. But I think Texas is a spot that's going to be very appealing to Dominic Williams. He's seen a very similar to Byron Murphy in that he was the guy that didn't get the blue blood offers. I mean, obviously Texas flipped Byron Murphy late after he was committed to Baylor for a long time. But that same chip on the shoulder, I think, makes Dominic Williams a very attractive player to college coaches right now. So I'll say that. And I think he's a tremendous player, by the way. And then look at corner. It's not out of question that Texas takes a corner out of the portal. I do think that's a possibility. I think, look, the difference in the Big 12 and the SEC is in the SEC, there's the X receivers are some big, long limb athletic guys. There's a difference. Not that the Big 12 doesn't have some of that, but the SEC has a lot of that big, long limb speed and spades. No matter how good the teams are necessarily, the talent level's ridiculous. So I think Texas could look there. But I'll say this about corner, because, there's been a name that's brought up a lot. I'll say this about corner. Texas isn't going to go outside the culture fit for that guy. It's going to be somebody that's an on-field fit for what they need, but it's also going to be somebody who fits the culture. There's not going to be a sacrificing culture in the portal at the cornerback position. So just take that going forward, and we'll see what happens. But I think Corey J, that's what I'm getting at. No. So we'll see. We'll see who that player is. I think it'll come out at corner in the next few days.
I will say this. Texas does now have five players in the portal as of this morning. Now, there may be more going into the portal, current Longhorns. It started with Samaje Burrell, the linebacker out of North Crowley. Then we had Billy Walton and Jamon Tapp enter, as well as Peyton Kirkland. Kirkland announced over the weekend that he's going to Colorado. And then Zach Swanson on Saturday also entered the portal. He's a defensive lineman out of Arizona originally. That's five. We do believe there are going to be more here in the coming days. Texas now at 84 scholarships given out at this point. There will have to be more attrition if Texas is going to land a Bill Norton, a Jay Toy, a Dominic Williams, and et cetera. Right now, I will say this, Jerry, the percentages you put on Norton were 90% Texas. You went Toya at 80% Texas, and you went 51% with Dominic Williams, a young man out of TCU as well. So Longhorns in Jerry's eyes looking very, very strong right now as far as the portal is concerned at a position of major, major need. By the way, we were told that Vernon Broughton did get married on Saturday. Congratulations to Vernon. That's one of the reasons why he was not playing on Saturday. Congratulations there. Anything else that stood out for you guys from the spring game? Blake, I know you got a chance to see it. Anything you other than the quarterback play from both Arch Manning and, I mean, you got to get past that, right, to start talking about other things. What did you see that you liked, Blake?
Well, I want to go back to your point a minute ago about how exciting the spring game was, because I watched a handful of other spring games this weekend, and they were all snooze fest. I mean, every single one was like, I started watching baseball on the laptop, you know, or something like my mind slowly drifted. Whereas when Texas was on, that wasn't the case. Obviously, there's a vested interest in there, but still, I mean, it was very exciting. So that's number one. And then number two, just how good they looked overall from a physical standpoint, I think is really what stood out to me. Unlike you guys, I haven't seen them in person. Y'all, you know, got to see them in practice, those media viewing windows, media availability up close, things like that. So those are really the two things that just popped off instantly to me.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, we talked about this heading into the game, Bobby. Some guys are practice players and some guys are gamers. And there's differences that a young kid may be a thinker in practice, and in the game, he just reacts more, right? But an older player, maybe they go through the motions a little bit in practice. That doesn't mean they don't take football serious, right? But they've just been there 4 or 5 years. But then when it's game time, they show a little bit more than expected. I thought Tia Savea was really good Saturday on the defensive line, better than what we had heard about in practice, which is a good sign for Savea. Again, a guy that's played a lot of football, right? I thought Alex January, Texas is very high on Alex January, where he can go in the future. I thought, look, but there's a lot of Sadir Mitchell questions. He actually wasn't, he had his moments in the spring game in his role, in his job. I'll say this, Texas hasn't lost hope on Sadir Mitchell. I know there's a lot of Texas fans may have, but Texas hasn't lost hope in Sadir Mitchell. They, if he will buy in and just work and be process-oriented, he has a chance to be a good player. I mean, there's a reason Texas and Georgia battled for him. It's really up to Sadir. Ryan Wingo, and then there's players you'd heard about that deliver, right? Ryan Wingo delivered. I think Rod's on record, Bobby's on record, I'm on record now. I think a lot of people are on record. He's the most talented receiver Texas has recruited since Roy Williams. I mean, out of high school, and there's been a lot of talented players, but I think that's Ryan Wingo's talent level. And we said last night on Longhorn live stream, Bobby, a lot of the touchdowns get more of the retweets and the likes and the video shares, right? But his first catch was his most impressive catch to me because he caught it in the intermediate game, and Ryan Wingo made three moves in about a two-yard space at 6'2", 210. And I said, okay, if this guy can do that, it's one thing to have 10-6 speed, run over the top, run by a corner. It's one thing to catch the ball over the shoulder in the end zone. We know he can do that. We've seen all that. But if he can make moves after the catch at the Power 5 level and get 5-6 extra yards after the catch and maybe break a 25-yarder from time to time, he becomes a different level player. I mean, that's a guy that scares the out of a defensive coordinator. He can run by me, yes, but if he can catch the ball in the short and intermediate game and make my quicker corner miss, that gets to scare you a little bit. So I thought Ryan Wingo, that first catch was his most impressive play to me. You know he's going to run fast after the catch. You know if he has a straight line, it's going to be really fast. But I thought there were a lot of positive signs from the spring game, guys. I mean, Colton Vosick, you got to mention him. Look, a guy that's battled injuries, missed all of last year with just those nagging injuries. But he's a guy, obviously his father's a D-line coach at Westlake. His father played D-line at Texas. The guy knows how to maximize everything from his stance to his BGO. But Colton Vosick's got a motor. And if he can stay healthy, that the edge position looked even better coming out of Saturday, Bobby, than it did coming in, considering Trey Moore really didn't play much.
Yeah, and I would add this. I will say this. I think Andre Kodjo at tackle is not going to work long term. He's going to have to play guard. Vosick and others really got after him a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but Vosick got the majority of his work against him. Had a tackle for loss and a sack the very next play against Kodjo. Kodjo just not there right now. I will say some other things that I mentioned. You mentioned Ryan Wingo, and I literally, we went to that first practice, and I said, that's just he's a different level guy, right? The question I have, and I've seen a lot of football through the last 30-something years. I used to be on the road, not unlike what Jerry goes and does. And I the one player that he reminds me of is not, people say, oh, Julio Jones. He's not quite that physical. Like, I mean, Julio Jones was ultra, like, yeah, you know, that kind of, he's more like Andre Johnson. I remember seeing Andre as a junior in high school and as a senior in high school. Played, obviously, he has a gold jacket now, I think. I mean, he's a tremendous player for the Houston Texans. Same kind of size, Jerry, in high school. Just looked that way. That kind of speed could kind of take away from people. Still that kind of arm reach or length, you know, to catch radius, I guess, is the term that a lot of people use. But the thing that he's going to have to do, and I really believe this, he is as talented as Andre Johnson, in my opinion, at least on the field, or at least from an athleticism standpoint. Is he going to be as talented as Andre Johnson up here and in here?
Yeah.
He does those two things. That's the limit for Ryan Wingo, but he has to get after it because right now he's running second and third team. He's not in the starting lineup. I do think he's going to be good enough where they have to force feed him a little bit, Jerry, because you don't do what he did. I mean, Texas has some good receivers. We all agree with that.
Yeah.
They have some personnel.
Look, he was a two going against ones, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But he has, sometimes he beat Kobe Black the first touchdown pass. That was twos versus three. But my point is, he's got that ability, Jerry, and you got to force feed those guys a little
bit. Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys, before we move on, and still a lot to talk about, first, Jerry, can you tell folks out there about the good folks at Manscaped?
Well, of course I can, man. I'm holding the 4.0. Guys, you need to go get this if you don't have it. I'm just telling you. Call them what you want. I love it. Knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. And look, these are only things you can know about the lawnmower if you have it. LED spotlight helps you navigate all your nooks and crannies. Waterproof, works wet or dry. Tried it. That's true. Up to 60 minutes of runtime, powered by a robust, rechargeable battery. Of course, LED power indicator. I mean, updated skin-safe blade. Constant RPM motor, travel lock for those bad travelers like me, man. That gets nasty. And universal USB-C charging port. That's right. Dude, this guy's like an iPhone. You can take him anywhere. You can charge it anywhere. Manscaped.com, on Texas, all caps. If you don't use it, you aren't using what OTF uses.
Bringing the energy this morning. Bringing the energy. All right. Well,
LED lights is exactly what some people need.
I threw this in the ocean, threw it off the wall. It still worked.
One thing that we need to talk about this morning is high school recruiting. We've talked about the portal, but Jerry, what's the latest there?
Yes, I dropped another a nugget on TexasFootball.com this morning. Myron Charles, the D lineman out of Port Charlotte, caught up with one of his people Sunday. He's locked in his Texas official visit. Now, that's going to be May 31st through June 2nd. He already had Texas tinkered with June 14th through 16th. He had some visits locked in there. But Myron Charles, defensive lineman out of Port Charlotte, one of the best in the country. He's going to visit Texas, it looks like, May 31st through June 2nd. That's the first official visit weekend in June. There you see Myron, big, strong kid, can play over the ball, can play the three. Got that versatility about him in that southwest corridor of Florida. Tashard Choice, Kenny Baker, Jeff Banks, all involved in that recruitment. Florida State's been considered the favorite for a while. They get the last visit in June. Florida and Miami also get visits, but we'll see what Texas can do there. He had a really good unofficial visit to Texas in late March, and that's the next part of the process. When you come back for the official, game on, and we'll see what happens. But that's good news for Texas. Nick Brooks out of Cedar Rapids, the offensive lineman out of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, JFK High, four-star offensive lineman. Goes by Big Nick. There he is. Great visit to Texas. Similar to Jamie French, Texas, oh, man, just throwing him around, man. That poor little kid, dude, you're not supposed to do that. Look, Nick Brooks, he's going to come back for a June 14th through 16th official visit. Texas, I think, vaulted into the top two. I think Georgia's one, Texas is two, Iowa's three. Man, he plays without his helmet on. That's playing through the whistle, isn't it? And then USC's the fourth team in the mix there for Nick Brooks, all 6'7", 350 of him. Really good player there, Bobby. He could play right tackle, could play guard at the next level, maybe a guard if he goes to the SEC. But I do think Georgia's won, but he had a great visit to Texas, spent time with Kyle Flood, Steve Sarkisian, and that official visit is locked in for June 14th through 16th. And, you know, there's a large human beating up on littler humans on that video. Third guy I wanted to hit on, by the way, I think Riley Pejon had a really good visit with his family to Texas Saturday. He had to leave a little bit early. They had a family or a birthday party back up in McKinney. But I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for Riley Pejon. He's visiting June 14th through 16th. Florida State's in the mix. Ohio State's in the mix. Then you have USC and A&M trying as well. He has some official visits in June. But then the last guy, James Simon, the running back out of Calvary Baptist in Shreveport, obviously his father, John Simon Jr., was a standout running back at Louisiana Tech in the NFL briefly, and has coached college football for over a decade. So a guy that really pays attention, a family that really pays attention to running back coach relationship and recruiting. Does that sound right up the alley of Tashard Choice in recruiting? It is. This is a guy who was on campus June of last year for the elite camp. A guy that Texas, you know, Jordan Davison, James Simon are the two backs to watch right now. If Texas makes a big push here with James Simon, I think they will win this recruitment as of right now. Notre Dame's in it. LSU already has two backs on the board. But I think Texas is in a pretty good spot for James Simon. Obviously, if Texas makes an early move with James Simon, that means Jordan Davison's headed to Ohio State. But James Simon had a great visit to Texas. He was there. We had pictures on Texas football of him. So Texas had a – and then I got to mention this too. John Turntine was on campus, the 2026 five-star offensive lineman. Two sisters that go to Huston-Tillotson. One of those sisters transferring to Texas. Does that mean it's a lock? It doesn't. But I will say this. This is a true academic football recruitment. John Turntine, great talent. I think he may be the most talented upside prospect in the state, and that includes 24, 25, and 26 prospects. I think that much of Turntine. But he's also top 5% of his class at North Crowley in the running to be the valedictorian there. He's a pre-med guy, more than likely, right? So this is a true academic football recruitment. Those really benefit Texas and Texas A&M in state. And he's visited both those places the last 2 weeks. He was on campus with Coach Ray Gates at North Crowley and three other offensive line teammates who are all Power 5 guys. Turntine, the only one with a Texas offer. Turntine had a great visit. And then there's a one guy I want to mention, but I can't pronounce his name, guys. Primus is his name, but is his last name. He is a 2026 interior offensive lineman from Midland High. He was on campus, and physically he looks about as good as you can for a young offensive lineman, about 6'5", 310, 315. I saw him on tape when I was just going through huddle midway through point of the season, and he didn't have any offers at the time, and I thought he was tremendous. But he made his first visit to Texas on Saturday, and he will be back. Texas, that's a guy that I think Texas will offer one day. He's tremendous.
Good stuff, for sure.
Max Muller, let's talk about Jordan Washington. He actually had the catch of the spring game. Climb the ladder, big guy, like you're rebounding an AAU basketball. He's seen that ball coming off the rim before. You got to go up in traffic and go grab it, and he did.
Well, one thing that I want to say, guys, before we move on, we got lots of questions, so a couple of super chats we need to get to, is we hit 43,000 subscribers this morning. So I want to say a big thank you to everybody out there for supporting On Texas Football, the YouTube channel, and, of course, OnTexasFootball.com. But 43,000, incredible, just absolutely incredible for sure.
We were out there, Jerry and I were there the whole week this week, and it's palpable right now, the sense around Longhorn Nation, the kind of contagiousness I want to say, around Longhorn football. People are excited, and then you go out, and they were excited after coming off the national playoff appearance. And then you go out there and see what happens on Saturday afternoon with Arch and Trey Owens and all the receivers, et cetera. How can you not be excited right now? Doesn't mean Texas is going to win it all. Fingers crossed, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yet, how can you not be excited right now? And it was fun at the Posse East. We were there on Wednesday and then Victory Lap on Saturday. Guys, both of those places were just fun to hang out, talk to people, because you got a real sense of not only what Texas football means to people, but the reality of that people are buying in to Texas as a football program right now. And I'm here to tell you that you see what you saw on Saturday, and then you have the idea that maybe you get better at defensive tackle over the next 2 weeks here, 3 weeks in the portal, get really good there, and then go big game hunting at corner or one of those spots, another spot to actually bolster a defense. Texas is just in really, really good shape, not just with the fan base, but overall. And I think the team itself is pulling the fans in as we go, in part because of what, the kind of fireworks we saw on Saturday is part of it.
Hey, and by the way, I want to say that. I haven't seen official attendance numbers for the spring game. I don't know if Texas put anything out, Blake, but I'm guessing it was 44,000-ish, 45,000-ish at the spring game. I want to say that for questionable weather, the 3 days, 4 days leading up to the game, great turnout. Chris Del Conte continues to do a great job with the product of Texas football before the actual product on the field, Bevo Boulevard, the autograph line. I was down there, 7:45. I saw a bunch of OTF guys. Great to meet all you guys. But the line was long at like 8 a.m. And got longer and longer and longer for autographs. I thought it was awesome that Steve Sarkisian came out and signed autographs and talked to the kids, man, when they were going through the autograph line, that Sark was sitting there next to David Benda signing autographs. So that's really good of Sark to do, because you got to consider this. There were official visitors on campus, Bill Norton and Toya. There were 20-plus kids, underclassmen on campus, high school recruits visiting, that Sark came out there and signed autographs for all the fans. I thought was awesome. Look, it's Texas. The product begins before the first ball is kicked. And Texas, Del Conte and Texas doing a great job with that. Hey, by the way, I wanted Blake to bring up a photo, and I think he is.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier the UT alumni, but look, we ran into Bill Bradley. And he took the best hook'em photo. I mean, look at Bill Bradley. Is there a more proud UT former player than Bill Bradley? I mean, he used to coach Under Armour game and camps when I was part of ESPN Under Armour camp. So I know Bill, great guy. But I said, hey, man, put your horns up. Took a photo, and that's what he did. He didn't go with the horns up like this. I mean, he was firing those horns up, man. Super Bill Bradley. If you hadn't seen him, if you don't know the story, he's one of the all-time greats at the University of Texas.
Yeah, he's got the elbow extended.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going forward with that. He's not, it's not the meek, hey, right here. He's like forward with it.
There you go.
It was
Super Bill Bradley. The guys in the NFL get a lot of notoriety now, but for the guys, the old-time guys, Bobby, Super Bill Bradley, one of the all-time greats at Texas, coached in the NFL, defensive coordinator in the NFL. He's a football lifer and a UT lifer.
Yeah, and obviously I was not around when he played undergrad at Texas, or even I was only there for a little bit of his pro career for the Eagles. But the story goes, Jerry, that he came out of Palestine, Texas,
yep.
And was considered an All-American, right, in high school, and was going to be the quarterback for Daryl Royal. But, two or three games in, they had switched to the option, the wishbone with Emory Ballard, the offensive coordinator, and things just weren't going real well for Texas. And Bradley, Daryl Royal said, hey, we're going to try James Street. Bill Bradley, will you go be defensive back? And Bradley was one of those guys that was a little enigmatic. I mean, he was always a partier, kind of big personality, et cetera. But he took to the defensive back room like a duck to water. And James Street made way, and the rest is history. Texas won two national titles in part because of that that switch. And Bradley, to this day, still, like you said, a very very proud Longhorn, despite losing his position at Texas officially. Of course, he made the most of it playing, I think, what, 10 years in the NFL?
Coached another decade plus in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so those kinds of stories will go on and on. I don't want to compare it to Roschon Johnson being a backup and then going in the fourth round necessarily, because of different situations. But still, those are the kind of stories you'll tell your kids and your grandkids down the road. Do you remember when? And Bill Bradley, certainly a piece of that in Longhorn lore.
Speaking of the NFL, guys, the draft this week here in Texas just put out this graphic just a little bit ago after we started the show. But, April 25th to the 27th there in Detroit, and up to three Longhorns taken in the first round. We'll see what happens. But exciting times.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I mean, we should have fun. We're gonna do a little a watch with us, I think, Jerry, on Thursday, and watch the draft and kind of go through it with folks that want to hang out and talk Longhorn football while watching the draft. I listened to a podcast on the NFL draft over the weekend on my ride back to Nashville, and they had Byron Murphy going in the top 20, Adonai Mitchell going in the mid 20s. They did not have Xavier Worthy in the first round. This was one from The Athletic, just so y'all know. But two Longhorns in that mock draft, I could see three easily going.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Texas has a chance at three first-round picks. I think they have a chance to have six guys draft in the first three rounds, and a chance to have 10 drafted overall. So it's going to be a good week. Again, look, and we've talked about this, Texas football is going to light up social media on the NFL draft. And it's been a while since Texas football could light up social media on an NFL draft. And it started with, obviously, with Xavier Worthy headed to the Hall of Fame without playing a game, right? With that record 40 time at the NFL Combine. That caught millions of impressions for University of Texas football. But now you're looking at a three-day run where up to 10 guys are going to get drafted. And it's going to be a record in the seven-round draft for the University of Texas. So that's a adding on to the product in the spring game. Not that there aren't – look, it's not a perfect team. There's things that have to be worked on. We all acknowledge that. But as Rod Babers calls it, it's first-world problems, right? But now you get the draft. And what comes after that, right before the Texas staff hits the road in recruiting for the spring evaluation period, the coaches will be – most of them will be in Austin this week, and then hit the road starting the following week for the spring evaluation. You can't be on the road the whole time. You only have a certain amount of days you can get out. You can only see prospects once. So you got to kind of manage those days, manage where you go, when you go there. You want to get closer to probably some spring games for some of these high school kids. But this week is a big buildup to the NFL draft, and that's the next kind of piece in recruiting that Steve Sarkisian and the staff now have can tell guys, look, yeah, not only do you come here and we've turned a corner winning football games, how many guys did you see drafted? And then the 25 mock drafts are going to come out, and Quinn's going to be on there, and Kelvin Banks is going to be on there. Isaiah Bond might be on some of those. We'll see. But there could be some other Texas guys on there. So the draft is going to be the next piece in recruiting for the Longhorns.
Okay, guys, plenty of time to get your questions in, so please do so, and we're going to get to those here momentarily. But first, I need to tell you guys out there about Gooder, if I can find the promo code to bring up here. Sorry about that.
Well, I got to get ready for the read.
you're going to have to find it. There you go. Oh, man. So, I'm a sunglasses snob, guys. No other way to put it. I'm very hard on what I wear. So when I'm recommending Gooder, I promise you it's a quality product and that you're going to like it. For $25 a pair, you definitely can't beat it. They're 100% polarized. They don't slip. They don't bounce. They're always releasing new styles. They even have a pair for Longhorn fans. It's Gooder, and it's good for your eyes. You've heard Jerry rave about them. You've heard Bobby tell you how good they are. If you don't believe us, go online and see their more than 50,000 five-star reviews. They stand behind their product with a 30-day free return window and a one-year warranty. Gooder will have you looking stylish, and it's easy on the wallet. They're so affordable, I don't have to worry about losing them, scratching them, breaking them, whatever it may be, like I do with other super expensive glasses. So if you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/ontexas, use code ONTEXAS, and they're going to give you free shipping. And they offer a 30-day money-back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's gooder.com/ontexas. Use promo code ONTEXAS and take advantage of that free shipping.
I mean, Gooder glasses, duck cap, hat, I'm ready to roll.
Jerry, you're a picture of you're getting the morning, the week going right now with your attitude, I think. Yeah, good stuff, dude. Good stuff. Hey, let's reset a little bit, yes. Mike, if you don't mind, because a lot of people have joined us. Talk a little bit of excellence I thought we saw at quarterback play on Saturday. Offense really getting after it on not only with Arch Manning, but also with Trey Owens. Then you had some receivers getting in the mix. Jaden Blue making a phenomenal catch. Ryan Wingo, Isaiah Bond, and DeAndre Moore, both with long catches. I thought the tight ends looked good. The offensive line protected well, especially the first team. Then you had some of the second team defensive line get after the quarterback a little bit. So all in all, just a really nice showing for the Longhorns overall. I thought Arch Manning, though, if you'll bring up that graphic, probably stealing the show, I think it's fair to say, Blake, yeah. And Jerry, passing for 300-plus yards, 19 of 25, 355, three touchdowns. That one interception, obviously, if you didn't see the game for whatever reason, came on a Hail Mary at the very end, tip ball that Jelani McDonald brought in. But just a workmanlike, efficient, thorough, I mean, I don't even know, decisive. What all words do you use to describe it? Because I've seen a lot in my day, and the Longhorns, and it was as good a quarterback performance as any I have seen in a spring game from a Texas quarterback, and that goes back 30-plus years. So I'm just going to – that I don't know. Vince Young probably looked that good, but he only had two series going into his senior year. Colt McCoy looked that good, but again, one or two series when he was really that good. Look, he looked phenomenal. Looked phenomenal.
See, and here's the thing about his day. I thought his best throws weren't the ones that people clip in video. The long touchdown passes with a blown coverage, right? Okay, but it was the intermediate throws. His best throw today was the touchdown Bond dropped at the end of the half. That's the best ball he threw all day. But the thing about Arch was second and third progression throws. Bobby, I think you mentioned it's tough to play zone against the guy that has that ability. But it was the throws in the intermediate game, the touchdown to Jaden Blue, because that was a look away, come back to it over the middle. That's an understanding of where defenders are going to be. That the throw to Bond that was dropped. I mean, it's a ball that should have been caught. It wasn't an easy catch, but that ball was a hell of a pass. Now that's the best ball he threw all day at the end of the first half. But that's the thing is the plays that get clipped and shown on social media weren't actually his best throws. And I think a little bit the same with Trey Owens. That was what impressed me about Manning is the command that he had, but the ability to move second, third progression, look off the right guys with the right timing, and come back to it. Very, very, very strong showing.
Well, fellas, we have a few super chats that we need to get to. This first one here from Longhorn Football Edits. He says, if we play today, my starting wide receivers are Bond, Wingo, Cook, heavy rotation of Moore and Golden, Hookle. What do y'all think about that?
I don't think – so as good as Wingo looked, okay, I don't think he's ready to run with the ones on a ongoing level until he gets more ingrained in the offense and more reps, et cetera. I think it's Moore, Cook, and Bond right now. Golden is your fourth. That's kind of that guy that I think could be outside that would spell Jonte Cook at times and be in the circle of trust. I do think he's going to get there. And then I think you have Wingo kind of as that, wild card. I mean, you want to see, you've got to get him some snaps each and every game. Somebody else asked in the chat if Silas Bolden is on campus yet and if he counts against the total 85 scholarships. In the first of all, he is not. He doesn't show up until June. So that's the young man from Oregon State that actually had more receptions last year than either Isaiah Bond or Matthew Golden. So keep an eye on him competing with DeAndre Moore, in my opinion. But beyond that, I think what's important is he is already counting towards that 84 number that we're at right now with Texas on a net basis for scholarships. So that question came up. I want to make sure I got to that as well.
And I think we also have to, you know, because some people like, on one of the chats, Xavier Worthy started as a freshman. That's different times at Texas.
Yeah.
Xavier Worthy was forced into being the guy. The great thing for Ryan Wingo right now in Texas, look, it's a hard scheme to pick up for a wide receiver pre-snap, right? Sark puts a lot on their plate. And what we always said about Wingo since we saw him in those first two open media window sessions is talent, ridiculous. How quickly does the rest of it happen for him? If all that happens for him quickly, then that's a pretty special player because it's not an easy scheme to play in for a quarterback or a wide receiver. But the great thing for Ryan Wingo is he doesn't have to be the guy as a freshman like Xavier Worthy did. It's better to be one of the guys and draw favorable matchups and kind of come along slowly. Would you want Ryan Wingo to necessarily start at Michigan September 7th? I'm not sure that's ideal. I mean, you wanted him to make his plays, be a part of the rotation, and in the second half of the season, let him build up to it in games. I just, that's what I believe. I believe the guy has a chance to be a tremendous, tremendous player. But the difference is you don't have to just throw him out there to the Wolves this year. You can let him develop a little bit. And that is, that's only helpful for a guy that talented.
Yeah. We have a super chat here from Jack. Thank you once again, Jack. He says, congrats on 43,000 members. Now we need at least half of that number to become OTF OGs. And Bobby, there's no better time than for you to explain how they can become an OTF OG.
Yeah, absolutely. We have premium content on TexasFootball.com. So obviously we only do, what, three or four videos max each day based on the amount of time it takes everybody to listen to them, all that other stuff. So if you want to keep up with the Longhorns during the day, the way to do that is Jerry, myself, Blake, CJ Vogel, we're posting stories and writing on the message boards. Updates for the Longhorns. To do so, go to ontexasfootball.com. Right now, we're running a special. If you use the coupon code OTFOG, you can get an annual subscription for just $39.95. That's $20 off the normal subscription. We're really trying to make it just a nominal cost so people can keep up with the Longhorns on an easy basis. It's $6 or $5.95 a month if you want to try to do that. But again, go to ontexasfootball.com. Use the code OTFOG to be able to read to sign up and read the premium content. Hopefully as many people will join us and we can just keep building this out and bringing you guys more and more content as it goes on. So that's the goal, bringing all Longhorn fans together into a community that is supportive, not only of Texas football, but of one another as well. So, and we started that a little bit this week, I think, with the two meetups at the Posse as well as Victory Lap. We really, really enjoyed that and getting to meet all you guys.
We have a question here from Archmania. He says, I saw Juan Davis and Nye Black both on the field at the same time. That's interesting. And a two tight end set. Firepower?
You know, it's interesting because both of those guys are more H-backs than true inline tight ends, right, Jerry? And I talked with Rod a little bit about that post-game. He just thinks that they're going to use Juan Davis kind of as a little bit of a Allen, like a utility guy. He can line up in line. He can line up as an H-back, and they're going to move him around because he knows the position so well at this point. Gunnar Helm will be more of that inline guy traditionally, and Nye Black will be more of that H-back They are playing Nyblack more in the H-back role and Helm more on the line. So Davis, I think, is going to be that swing guy. Jordan Washington, if y'all didn't get a chance to see him, young man's got some real talent. I'm not so sure Texas didn't bring in at tight end two future NFL players in Nyblack and Jordan Washington, both in different time frames of their development, obviously. Spencer Shannon got some time also with the team. Will Randall saw a little bit of action. But look, Jordan Washington, Amari Nyblack, Gunnar Helm, those may be the three most talented tight ends. And you have a guy like Juan Davis, who I think, like I said, he's kind of your utility player this season.
And we've had a lot. Oh, sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean to put you up there. We have a lot of secondary questions, guys. Secondary and quarterback questions seem to be the hot topics today, rightfully so. So let's start with this one from Todd Lacey. He says, the secondary is a concern for me. How do you bust the cover, three corner, not getting to deep third, and let a guy get 10 yards behind you? And that was a veteran corner as well. We have many other questions asking if you guys have a legit concern about the secondary. I'm going to let y'all address that now.
Well, it was disappointing with Terrence Brooks. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. That was not a good play on him. That will not be on his highlight film. That will be on his you need to get better film, right? And so those things happen. I will give some credit at this point, however, to Arch Manning. We're kind of looking away and drawing the defense to that side. Maybe Terrence got caught looking into the backfield a little bit there. Am I concerned about the defensive secondary overall? I'm going to have a conversation about that with not only with Rod, but I'm going to talk with Brian Irwin. We're going to do a lunch with the coach today, the former head football coach, Lamarck, won two state championships. I'm going to talk to him a little bit about the secondary and whether or not he's concerned. As well as the play of the quarterbacks as well. But I am not ultra concerned because, frankly, Jahdae Barron was not out there. Arch Manning was a little bit on fire, and Texas has a lot of weapons. It was mostly the twos. I'm not super concerned about the secondary. I'm a little concerned that they don't have the cohesiveness I want to see out of them. They're not working as a unit right now. Now, maybe that's just because it's the spring. Makuba is new. Barron wasn't out there, et cetera. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
And while we're on the subject of Brooks, guys, I'm going to go ahead and ask this question here from Kyle. He says, if Terrence Brooks continues to make mistakes, do you think we could see Barron at boundary?
I don't know. I mean, look, Jerry, you came out and said Texas might go big game hunting in the portal at corner. You could see Barron at corner, though, if move Makuba down to the slot or keep Gilbo there. But I don't necessarily think that Jahdae Barron's natural spot is at corner.
I don't either. Rod doesn't either.
Yeah, I think he's more likely a long-term safety of the NFL, for example, than he is anything else. But I think that Terrence Brooks is a good player. So I think that a lot of people are like, you know, circling this. You got to remember this is also the spring game. And he's out there for the first time in, you know, 3 months, 4 months, trying to get things going. Don't be too down on a guy, in my opinion, that has an NFL potential. They're going to get beat. And when they get beat, the thing about a DB, when he gets beat, it looks bad. You know, it's like, I'm not as down on him as maybe some people I think are concerned with. I do want to see more consistency out of him. Last year, he was somewhat inconsistent. He needs to work on that this offseason, but that's why there is an offseason, right? Give yourself time to get some weight, get some speed back, et cetera, get your mind right. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, guys, a lot of people talking about the quarterbacks, like I said, and people want to know about Trey Owens and y'all's thoughts, like this one, Tyrese. He says, can you see Trey Owens sitting for 3 years behind Quinn, 2 years behind Arch? He may be ready next season to be a major college quarterback.
Look, I mean, that's all going to come down to with these kids at this position and a lot of positions when you're in a very, very talented program, what's your level of patience and is development and process better, more important than how many games you start? I mean, how many games did Mac Jones start at Alabama?
I mean, enough to be a first round pick.
that's going to be the question, and not all guys are built that way, right? I mean, but Mac Jones, and I'm not comparing the two as players. I'm not getting ahead of all that. But what I am saying is they're very comparable as recruits. A high three-star guy that ended up a four-star guy, right? It had a big senior season. I mean, Mac Jones was once committed to Kentucky, and Alabama flipped him. People don't remember that. Mac Jones wasn't always that level recruit. He had a really good senior campaign, and he became that guy. Trey Owens became that four-star guy with a great senior season there as he continued to progress when some other guys maybe did not. But it's all going to come down to it's how patient are you and how process-oriented are you? I mean, that's what it comes down to, especially at quarterback, because only one guy plays, barring injury. So that's what it comes down to. I don't have that answer. I do know in the NIL era, it's always interesting that, you know, look, where the game has changed for the backup quarterbacks and the third-team quarterbacks, Bobby, is somebody can make those guys an offer they can't refuse.
Yeah, maybe
the game has changed.
Maybe, but here's what Texas has on its side that is the ultimate X factor. There are maybe two other coaches in college football right now that can be pointed to and say, I'm as good a developer or on the same caliber even as Steve Sarkisian in creating first-round draft picks. The only other one that's even close is Lincoln Riley. Who else? Who else is a QB developer in college football that you can say, okay, I've had multiple first-round draft picks through decades. I'm not just a one-hit wonder. I've been doing it for 25 years now. What other quarterback coach is there? Y'all, I'm not hearing y'all say anybody's name, Jerry or Blake right now. I mean, it's because there's not one. That's the point that we're making here is Texas in that situation right now. Yeah, not Mike Elko. You know, they punted 11 times on Saturday. So my point being, Texas has something going on its side. And that's called Steve Sarkisian. Ryan Day, maybe. But he's not a multi-year, multi-different places. He's only been at Ohio State and successful at Ohio State developing a quarterback like that. Okay. Nobody else. And so my point is Trey Owens can, you know, what is the offer you can't refuse? Well, I mean, the money is a first-round draft pick. After 1 year of starting at Texas, a hell of a lot more than going to Kentucky and getting beat up and going in the seventh round. Despite what you might make in NIL from somebody. I mean, it's just different. And I think that Texas is in good shape because of that. I also think that Sark has done a good job finding guys that fit that mindset a little bit. I mean, based on what I know of Trey Owens, Jerry, and what we talked to him on this program multiple times.
Very confident.
Yep. Confident and intelligent.
Yeah.
And deliberate. He's not, you know, there's no, what's the best way to put it? There's no knee-jerk reaction there or knee-jerk decision, I don't think, that's going to happen.
Yep. And we've had a lot of comments, questions regarding arm strength of the quarterbacks. A lot of people think that Trey has the strongest arm of them all. What do you guys think on that?
I don't think there's any. I mean, I watched him. I think it's Trey, then Arch, then Quinn. In that order, as far as arm strength.
Terry?
I think it's interesting because Quinn is a layer of the football. But yes. When Quinn wants to rip it, he can really rip it. I mean, he can really rip the ball. So, tough call. I mean, you have to put a jugs gun on him for an intermediate second read throws. I mean, there's a lot to it. If they could step, take three steps and throw the ball farthest down the field from the goal line to what number? That's probably Quinn. I mean, he's on a video doing it 72 yards coming out of high school. That's a big throw, right? But there's a difference between how fast the fastball's in the game and just arm strength, right? So I think in a pocket, in a game, If you're throwing the ball in the intermediate, I think Trey probably has the most showed the most RPMs. But it's nobody has Ryan Mallett. I mean, Antonio Harris brought up Ryan Mallett. Nobody has Ryan Mallett. I mean, Ryan Mallett has the strongest arm I've ever seen in my life, ever. I mean, it's not even close at a high school quarterback. That was ridiculous. I think Trey Owens, he probably had the most RPMs on the ball.
Yeah, I don't think – here's the issue. Me saying that I think it's Owens, then Arch, then Quinn, I don't – arm strength is just one piece of it. Yeah. Quinn Ewers is – he's an NFL quarterback ready-made. So don't – I mean, he still has work to do and all this other stuff, but don't get the mistake – don't mistake arm strength for, you know, all the other pieces of being a quarterback and what it means. It's not like this – it's some sort of slight to him, in my opinion. That's where people, I think, miss arm strength. There's more to being a quarterback. Brock Purdy wouldn't be in the NFL if it was down to arm strength.
Right.
And he just had a team in the Super Bowl. Okay. Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, not going to break any world records on arm strength.
No.
You know, but I will say all three of those quarterbacks, there is a level here. All three, Quinn, Trey, and Arch, all three of them, they can make all the throws. They have that kind of arm strength. And that's really all you need at this point. All right. Hey, we need to say thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John's a proud Texas Exes Life member. John wants to remind all of the Texas on Texas football family, you can receive a free 90-minute consultation to explore how Longhorn Wealth can help you and your family maximize your wealth, minimize your taxes, and secure your own financial future and legacy by simply calling the Longhorn Wealth team 972-707-4900 or by visiting longhornwealth.net. Take advantage of this exciting offer to meet with John, a certified financial planner who has spent more than 30 years serving Longhorns all across Texas and the nation, and let he and his team help secure your desired financial future. Just call them 972-707-4900 or go to longhornwealth.net to schedule your free 90-minute introductory consultation today. John was at the spring game, and I know he was excited with what he saw on Saturday afternoon as well.
We got some more quarterback questions and time for just a few more questions. But first, let's do the super chat here from Jay Lee. He says, I'm sorry, but the should Arch be QB1 conversation is absurd. There's literally a video going on right now with that title. I would say don't expect it to stop because that's what sales clicks.
Yeah, I mean, look, well, I said this last night, Bobby, and Rod.
Wait a minute. Does it sell clicks of true Texas fans?
No, but in the college.
And that's the point. That's what I have an issue with. And I love Arch Manning and I love Quinn Ewers both. That's what it doesn't have to be either or in life. This whole Chris Sims versus Major Applewhite pissed me off too. It's like they both wear the burnt orange, you know? And so the juxtaposition there and trying to make an argument when it's not like Arch doesn't deserve time and find time, but trying to pick a fight. It's just let's be adults.
Well, we talked about this before the spring game. If Arch had gone 8-15, people would be like, oh, he needs to transfer. He can't play at Texas, right? He's a lightning rod. He's almost like him and Deion Sanders are the lightning rods for clicks in college football. But Arch is, and I'm not comparing him, look, but it's similar to the Tiger Woods of the world, people. You want to almost tear him down, right, because he's got here. But there was a couple of shows Sunday that were wild saying, because Arch had such a good game, it was one of two. Either he had a bad game and he needed to transfer, or he had a great game and he needed to transfer. There's like no in between. And people are like, oh, he needs to transfer. He's too good to sit a year. And my thought on that was like it's like the height of hypocrisy, man. And I know you do it for clicks, a national media and even Texas media at some sort of level. But, you know, 8-15 transfer, 10-15. Oh, transfer because you're too good to sit. Right. But then you have 19-25 and you go off and, oh, yeah, you're wasting your time sitting another year at Texas. But at the same time, you sit there and get on the kids for transferring. But then you want to turn around and for clicks say, this guy needs to transfer now. And the crazy thing about it is with the Mannings is they've all – it's like people haven't followed their history. I don't understand. And now I do understand because it's for clicks and it's for views. But it's like people haven't followed the history of the Manning. Go watch Book of Manning if you get a couple hours and actually understand the Manning family and their timelines and the way they look at being what goes into being a really good quarterback. They are instant gratification. They've never been that way. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. I don't know.
All right. And we have a super chat here from Cataract Cowboy. Says, Jerry, you've mentioned you're coming to Florida for a recruiting visit. I live in Jupiter. I'd love to take you out for a beer or dinner.
Dude, shoot me a message because I lived in Jupiter 6 years. And, hey, man, Guanabana, Square Grouper, Love Street, you know, you name it. Utiki, let me know. I'll be there one night.
Jerry just named all the bars in Jupiter, Florida, basically.
Oh, man. All right, Naaman Roberts, we're going to go back to QB talk for a second. Can y'all guys tell me why Ewers has so many balls knocked down at the line of scrimmage? This has been the case since he got to Texas. I've seen this mentioned a few times in the chat today.
Well, he holds the ball a little bit lower than Arch does, I think. That may be one, but really I think it's up the middle pressure that gets him, and it gets most quarterbacks. And he's, you know, what is he, 6'3", 6'2", Jerry? Yeah. Not 6'5". I mean, and so that happens a little bit. But if it's not going to keep him from being a great college quarterback, I don't think. I do believe that being a little shorter will get you the ball knocked down more. Not keeping the guys out of the middle and pushing the front. I mean, when your center and guard get pushed back, you're going to get a lot of batted balls. That's what happened with Ethan Burke batting down the pass. He got into the backfield quickly because it was effectively an RPO, and Burke got in there. He's 6'7". I mean, right? Collins then gets the deflection and goes. I don't know exactly all of the ins and outs and that, but it hasn't been so bad, in my opinion, that you're just exceedingly worried. I remember the one that happened in the national championship semifinal last year on the goal line. That was a big one, but I can't remember a bunch of big ones for Quinn in that regard.
And Just the Dude says, what's one thing you didn't like from the spring game?
The bust in the secondary. What do you say, Jerry? What were the things that you...
I think Rod mentioned the switch release, the issue there. And I would say if you really want to dive into it, maybe didn't run the ball in between the tackles as effectively, consistently. But, you know, look, first world problems. I don't think Texas showed much in their run game, how they're going to attack people.
We have one other super chat for you, Jerry, from Cataract Cowboy again. Thank you again, Cataract. He says, let me know where to message you. I sent you a message on Instagram. So
we'll get that one.
All right, guys. We got time for probably just one more question here. And let's see. Actually, here's an interesting one. With Longhorn Network coming to a close, this asked by Gilbert Martinez. They are done with football. Do you feel like it was successful?
Longhorn Network, was it successful? Ultimately, no. Otherwise, it'd keep going. It was successful in maybe killing a conference, or at least the conference as we knew it, and separating Texas from other teams. But I don't think ultimately it was a success. I would say that. It's not like, and I'm not up here's the problem there. When you say it wasn't success, you think about all the guys that have worked for them, all the females that worked for them, they went on to good careers, etc. I think the idea of the Longhorn Network was actually really good. I think the execution of it from an executive level was poor.
I would say
they did not put enough money into programming when Texas didn't win on the football field. That is the reality. If Texas would have kept winning on the football field like they had, I think the Longhorn Network would have ultimately been a success.
Some people pointed out monetarily was a success for Texas. I think one of the big things early, the Longhorn Network, I think they wanted when they couldn't show high school football games. I think when that kind of happened, that kind of hurt a little bit. Then with Texas not winning on the field, that's ultimately what hurts anything, right? I mean,
hey, there's people right here that David Rawls just wrote it. It was not a success, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah.
That's the way to put it. I think that as Texas fans, everybody enjoyed it. I love listening to Brian Robinson. I'll just tell you now.
He's good.
Yeah. So there's a number of different guys on Fozzie's good. I mean, Alex Oakford started doing it. Michael Griffin, Iraq. I mean, all of those guys had great things to say in that. But at the end of the day, there wasn't enough programming that was interesting. So
it was nice getting to see all the, all the baseball games, softball, et cetera.
Right. The secondary sports actually, if they would have dove deeper on them as opposed to just showing games,
yeah,
that's my point. It's just, it got to be, all we're going to do is show games.
Yeah.
You know, there was no show games and replay of games. That's what it became the last 5 years. And that's the disappointing part.
Yeah, they could have done so much more, in my opinion, for sure. I'm with you. We got to read the super chat from Jay Lee. He said, I also think it's really cool when an upperclassman like Milton catches a touchdown, been there and worked hard a long time, and he'll get to show his kids
one. Hey, that touchdown catch wasn't the only catch he made. That third and 19, that was the catch in the throw from Trey Owens.
That was Trey Owens' best throw of the day, by the way.
Yeah, that was the throw of the day from Trey Owens. I feel like Thatch was also a walk-on. Congratulations to him. When you get a chance to have your day in the sun a little bit like that, good stuff. I'm all about guys like that that bleed for the program and then have an opportunity to at least make their mark somehow. It doesn't have to be the game-winning catch, right? But make your mark somehow where you get a chance to show what you can do and contribute to the team overall. So I agree, Jay. Good stuff for Thatcher. Congrats to him.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. We want to thank them, along with Manscaped and Gooder, for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. We definitely appreciate that. Thank you for the super chats and for getting us to 43,000 subscribers. That is completely awesome. Just the growth that blows my mind every day, thinking how far it's come in such a short amount of time. Bobby, I know you said you got lunch with the coach later today, I believe.
A lot of people had asked for Brian Irwin, the coach, to come on and talk a little football with us. So I'm going to talk with him later today. Then obviously we've got the winning drive. Rod Babers brings in Coach Bob Shipley. CJ will be on there with him as well, talking a little recruiting. We could have more recruiting news. Jerry's kind of bird dogging that right now behind the scenes. If you see him look down to his phone, I'm always wondering what he's going to bring up next during these broadcasts. And then that should do it. Then we have Talking Ball as well, Rod and Jerry, later tonight. And remember, please, if you're interested in what's going on, by the minute kind of, visit us at ontexasfootball.com. Use code OTFOG, become an OG, and you get $20 off an annual subscription. We appreciate you guys joining us at On Texas Football in whatever way you enjoy us. We really do appreciate you guys. It was great to meet so many of you and just hang out and be in Austin. I was in the motherland for a week. It felt really good, man. Felt really good.
And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button, ring the bell so you're notified anytime and every time that we post a video, go live, whatever it may be. And that way you're always caught up with the latest Longhorn news. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Thanks, Blake.